The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Here are our first NBA Wednesday matchups of 2022 on ESPN and the app. The Warriors and Mavericks square off at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Then it's the Utah Jazz and the Nuggets in Mile High City. And welcome back to Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. We're coming to you live from above the River Deck, the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. And Kimberly and Martin here with us as well. The guys joining in a second, but let's get up with Aaron Rodgers, the top seed, locked up, the MVP favorite, wants to take snaps on Sunday. Is it the right play? And Jerry Jones, optimistic on his boys despite last week's Cowboy collapse, will tell you if he's right to be bullish on his team and its most important player. And why an undermanned Tom Brady is a dangerous Tom Brady. Who the legend will look to as the champs move into the postseason. Get up starts right now. Well, welcome back. And again, we start with the Packers. The number one seed locked up. Aaron Rodgers locked in. And he says he might play this weekend. And Aaron Rodgers had some telling comments about why he continues to play at an MVP level. Take a listen to what he had to say on the Pat McAfee show.
It really comes down to, pardon my French, but giving less. I think that it's a maturity comes from aging, from making mistakes, from failing, from being too sensitive at times, from taking things too personal at times. And it's about growth. There's a lot of joy in being unapologetically yourself. And I think in life, we respect people the most often who are that way.
Okay, fair enough. Let's bring in our team for today. Dominic Foxworth giving us the Mike Tannenbaum with us as well. I love how you came right out to Dom. Nick, what do you got on your mind?
I mean, I appreciate Aaron Rodgers. He's a lot of fun to talk about. He gives us stuff every week. But I don't know. He's explaining his great play with what looks like to me, or what sounds like to me, like an Instagram caption. It comes off like new year, new me, like he just got out of breakup. I don't give a bleep what anybody thinks. And I'm going to show you, like, get out of here masquerading this Instagram caption as some sort of profound insight for why you're awesome. No, you're awesome because you got a really great arm. You see the field well. You make good decisions. This new year, new me, I don't care what you think. Instagram foolishness is not fooling me. Keep up the good work. Keep playing football. Yeah. But we could do with a little less of your analysis generally.
And we'll keep talking about him regardless. Kimberly, what do you think?
Thing. It just strikes me, this in particular, just strikes me as like he's this enlightened sort of figure now that has now come from the mountaintop
like
down
Buddha, almost.
To explain to the rest of us mortals, like, this is how it's done. When you reach this peak level of I don't give a what, you guys will see your enlightenment too. And this is the same man who literally was at a press conference just name dropping people like, this is why I'm mad. Like, he was telling us why he was mad all off season. And now it's just, you know, when you grow up a little bit and you mature, you things don't bother you. You don't think about certain things, except he cares more than anybody. He is more petty than I am. That's why all of this just is mind blowing. But I will continue to watch because he's a good soap opera.
He is. And you know what? You'll continue to watch him possibly on Sunday because Aaron Rodgers was asked if he thinks he's going to play in a meaningless game this weekend. Take a listen.
The plan is to play. You know, it's a double-edged sword that often the media can use either way. If we go out and play, you know, we risk injury. What's the point of doing it? If you go out and then play great in the divisional round, well, of course, that's because they played last week. I feel like there's some to momentum, and I think it's important for us to keep that momentum going.
Now, Mike Tannenbaum, he says the plan is to play. So you're our GM. If you hear that, considering that they have nothing on the line this weekend, do you let him play this Sunday?
There's a 0% chance. 0, 0, 0. For a month, we heard about his toe, and I got stepped on, and this, and an injection, maybe surgery. You know, and for all the controversy about this whole notion of 17 games, you just finished a 16-game season, and guess what? You just got a two-week bye, and you've earned it. You're the league MVP, and take advantage of it. If I'm Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, their GM, they've had an incredible year. There's no chance he's playing. Imagine if he got hurt. There's no chance whatsoever. Let him rest. Let him get his toe healthy. And if you want to be competitive, I get it. You can do that at practice. You can have highly competitive periods. You can have two-minute drills. I'm all for it. But let's be smart here. You have a real chance to win the whole thing. Don't get hurt in a meaningless game.
Yeah, and Nick, I'm trying to understand it from the mindset of a player, because the idea here is he's been talking week after week about how painful that toe is, how the rest would help. Isn't this a gift that you would take if you're Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, the players are not a monolith. They think differently. Like, I was never as good as Aaron Rodgers, in part because maybe I didn't want it as bad as him. I don't know, because if you was offering me a week off, I played hard and earned a week off week 18, then absolutely, I'm going to take it. And I agree with Mike T, like, the risk is not worth the reward. The one thing that Aaron did say that was accurate is it doesn't matter what you do. Us in the media, they're going to criticize you if you lose. If you go out there and play, we're going to say, well, he put himself at risk. He didn't give his toe a chance to heal. If you don't play, people are going to say, well, you sat around and you got rusty. But you know what? That doesn't matter, because you told us you don't care. So do whatever you want to do, and win or don't win, play or don't play, is completely up to you at this point. But I, like Mike T, will wrap that man in bubble wrap and also double mask him and put him in a locker room somewhere and try to keep him healthy until we got to the Super Bowl.
Oh, Kimberly, what do you think?
Yeah, the toe, that's the thing I keep going back to, because I've covered a Packers game. Like, I've heard him talk about this injury week after week. He's on with McAfee talking about the toe. I had to see the man's toe on Twitter all up and down my timeline.
Yeah, that wasn't
so
fun.
We talked about this toe ad nauseum, and the idea that he would still want to play, that's what's striking to me. And he brought up the media's going to make a big deal about this or that, whether I play or not. It's not the media. The reality is that you could get hurt if you play. And there's the momentum aspect, except they've got a bye. So yeah. I don't know what this man wants.
So, Mike T, if he comes to you, I'll give you the last word on this. He comes to you and says, look, Mike, you're my GM. Look, I want to play. This is what I want to do. Does that change your thinking?
No chance. And he addressed this an hour ago. The downside to this decision of him not playing is maybe they're a little rusty in the first quarter of the divisional game. Right. We'll take that. And you're going to be healthy, Aaron. We're going to do everything we can over the next 3 weeks to get that toe as good as possible. I love your competitiveness, but there's no chance you're playing whatsoever, no matter how much you and Pat McAfee talk about.
There's no chance Aaron Rodgers would go to his GM, Mike Tannenbaum, ask, what do you want to do? So
he's going
to
avoid Mike Tannenbaum all week. They're going to keep missing each other. Like, you were there? Oh, I didn't even know that. All right, well, speaking of playing next week, this Sunday, the Cowboys are sitting at 11-5 entering the final week. They're set for a matchup against the Eagles, but their defense allowing over 350 yards per game. The worst mark among current playoff teams in the NFC. The run game's been an issue as well. No Dallas player has rushed for at least 75 yards in a game since Zeke ran for 110 against the Giants back in week 5. And Dak Prescott has been a better quarterback at home compared to the road, with a 23-2 touchdown to interception ratio at AT&T Stadium and 9-8 ratio in away games. Here's Jerry Jones talking about Dak yesterday.
I'm very pleased with what Dak has been doing. And I can appreciate the challenges that we're facing from the defenses that we're playing. But in general, I'm going to say not thrilled to death. I'm ecstatic.
Neek, are you not thrilled to death, but ecstatic about these Cowboys? Not thrilled to death, but ecstatic.
No, it's simple math. He said, I'm very pleased. Those two cancel each other out. I know that man is lying. He's not very pleased. There's no way you can watch the way that they've played recently, considering all the weapons that they have and how talented their quarterback is and all the weapons they have on defense. There's no way you can look at these recent weeks and feel like you are very pleased. This team is very inconsistent. And so they have the chance to make Jerry very happy. They could beat anybody in football. They are that good when everything is clicking. but everything hasn't been clicking for quite some time. So I can't imagine that Jerry's being honest in that moment, but why would we ever expect him to be honest with us? In his heart of hearts, he's nervous.
So, Kmart, you think they're more likely to be one and done or make a run in the playoffs?
I think they're going to make a run based on the talent that they have. But would I bet my palatial estate in Florida? No. No, I would not. This Week 18 game, it's a get-right game for the Cowboys. And that, to me, it's even crazy to say based on how good this team is on paper. But they're good on paper. Every game, you don't know what Dallas team you're going to see. You don't know how Dak is going to play. You don't know what you're going to get out of Zeke. Michael Gallup going down is an issue. Can they start fast? Something they didn't do against Arizona. Can they stop the run? This is the last time they played the Eagles. These two teams were trending in opposite directions at that point. Now the Eagles feel like they have the momentum. They may not have the better record, but they're playing at home. It feels like they have found whatever magic, Dominique, works for them with that run game with Jalen Hurts. The Cowboys still seem at this late stage to be trying to put it together, and that bothers me because it's January. We should have figured this out. And their head coach also can't figure out time management. All of these are issues.
I'm so glad you brought that up because, Mike T, in the meeting before the show, you talked about the important things with a team, offense, defense, special teams, and game strategy. And it just seems so odd to me that with these Cowboys and all this talent, we continue to talk about Mike McCarthy and clock management. How much of a concern is that for you coming into these playoffs?
Before I answer that, I just want to give Kimberly a quick geography lesson. Texas is west of Florida, so that palatial estate that Jerry Jones has – that's west of here in Texas, not here in Florida. Just wanted to clear that up.
He was talking about her own estate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a huge concern, Ryan. There's four phases here: offense, defense, special teams, and clock management. And as the head coach, your job description is you're the chief strategist. And it's clock management 101 that until there's 2 minutes to go in the second and fourth quarter, you absolutely have to have at least one timeout. And when we go back to last week's game against Arizona, did he fumble or not fumble? And all the players were upset after the game, attacking the refs. They should have been attacking their head coach because right here on this play, where there was certainly a fumble, they couldn't challenge. And that's on the head coach. It's on nobody else. You figure out how to manage every other situation to know that you have one timeout in your back pocket. So to Kimberly's point, while there still seems to be a little bit of like, why are there growing pains in Dallas with such a talented team on both sides? A lot of it, to me, comes back to the strategy of the head coach. That has to be cleaned up because they have enough ability and talent to win the Super Bowl this year. They can go into Green Bay with that great defense and beat Aaron Rodgers, but they can't have any mistakes in any of those four phases.
And you think about how thin the margin of error gets when you get to the playoffs. This is something they cannot afford to mess up. We'll see what they do about it or if they change things to try to right the ship in terms of clock management. But let's talk about this when we come back. It gets interesting for Mac Jones. The Patriots rookie got the team back to the playoffs. What is the biggest thing he must do for success in the postseason? And a pair of stars are returning to the NBA this week. Who is the biggest championship difference maker, Kyrie Irving or Klay Thompson? Big Perk tells us when we come back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up. Let's take a look at some playoff teams and ask if they can make a run or will they be one and done. Neek, we'll start with you talking about the Eagles.
I think I'm hesitant on the Eagles, but I think that the way that they play defense and the way that they run the ball is impressive, but I think it limits their upside. So they're more than likely going to be one and done in my view.
Okay, Kimberly, Let's turn to the Bengals. Make a run or one and done?
Who's having a better year than the Bengals? AFC North champions. I'm going to give you some names. Joey, Joe, Trey, Chase, T, Tyler. Line them up. They've got a lot of weapons that defenses have to watch out for.
Maybe better weapons than any other team in the league on offense, at least. Mike T, let's talk about the Patriots. Make a run or one and done?
Yeah, see that guy right there? We're making a run. Who's going to want to play Bill Belichick in the playoffs? Who's betting against him? They're going to go on a run this year.
All right. You know, it's interesting. You never want to bet against Belichick, but then you look at the Patriots, and they've been quietly a force offensively this season with rookie Mac Jones at quarterback. Their 27.4 points per game average is the highest by any team since 1950 who's had a rookie quarterback start at least 8 games for them in that season. Last week was the second time this season the Patriots scored 50 points in a game, though we will consider the competition as well. So, Neek, I ask you this. You know, Mac Jones is in this really interesting position where if he was playing like a normal rookie, we wouldn't think about this much, but he's playing so well, the expectations are now sky high. So the Pats are in the playoffs. What does Mac Jones need to be if they're going to make it to the Super Bowl?
Okay, don't make mistakes, but you really need everyone else around him to stand up and be better than they've been up until this point. So I think there's a good chance they could end up playing the Bills for the third time this year. So if Mac Jones can control the weather and force them into another tornado-type game where they only throw the ball 3 times and they can run the ball and Josh Allen is forced to throw the ball less often or not as well as he normally does, that gives them a better chance. But last time they played them in reasonable weather conditions, they put up 31 points on him, and I respect Bill Belichick. I know he is smart and a hell of a football mind, but I don't think that they have the talent, frankly, to overcome some of the matchups that they might see in the playoffs.
Yeah, Mac Jones controlling the weather. If he's like Tom Brady, maybe he's magic. You never know.
Magic, that's it. Here we go.
What do you think he needs to be?
Just a game manager. He has to be the guy that doesn't lose the game for him. That's really it, because it's not about Mac Jones. It really is about all the other weapons. It's about that defense. Mac needs a strong run game. He needs a lead. He needs his defense to get some turnovers, give him some cushion. Don't play hero. Just take care. Just no turnovers. Don't be the reason you guys lose. Take care of the football, son. That's the bare minimum that he's being asked. And that's all that he should be asked to do.
And Mike Tannenbaum, I know you're a big believer in Bill Belichick. And look, I'd be the last guy to pick against him. But still, this is not the best Patriots team we've seen in recent years. So is there anything in this team that gives you sort of inspiration other than Belichick that says this team can go all the way?
To quote the great philosopher Mike Greenberg, here's some sneaky big news. In their recent loss to Buffalo, they averaged 5.5 yards per carry. We know about the game in Buffalo where they just only threw the ball 3 times, but in the loss, they controlled the line of scrimmage. They ran it 5.5 times. So, Ryan, to answer your question, their running game could be the difference here. And the greatest compliment we could give Mac Jones is, we don't even refer to him as a rookie. He just has to go play point guard. They have some weapons. They could run it. Kendrick Bourne's been, I think, better than most people have expected. And their defense, look, I understand what Neek's saying. They didn't play well last week, but they'll be ready for the playoffs. And to me, because of that running game, they probably have the best kicker in the NFL this year in Nick Folk. And they got Coach Belichick. And with that run game, they'll be in every game. And that yards per carry is sneaky big news.
Wow, and you called Mike Greenberg the great philosopher. What we're going to do is we're going to clip that and send it to him, and we're going to give him joy for the rest of the year. Okay, Neek, I'll give you the last word. Neek doesn't even believe it. I'll give you the last word.
I mean, he got to the kicker. His second reason why they're going to win was the kicker. Like, they got a running game. Mike T, it's not 1985. Like, the running game matters. It's nice to have, and I believe that it's a great thing to lean on in the playoffs. But we all know that there are playoff situations where you're going to need your quarterback to make some plays, particularly when you don't have the talent that a team like the Patriots would need to go to the playoffs. There's going to come a situation where Mac Jones is going to have to make some big plays. The question is, how many of those situations are there? If there are 2 or 3, maybe he can do it. If it's 5 or 6, I don't see it happening. They're going to have to create a bunch of turnovers on defense, which I know J.C. Jackson seems like a magnet for the ball, but I think it's unlikely that they have enough to get past the Bills or the Colts, two teams that they've lost to pretty convincingly in recent times. Maybe Belichick will come up with some new defensive scheme that he couldn't think of a couple weeks ago, and that'll be it. But my money's not on the Pats this year.
Yeah, you never bet against them, but it's a really tough year to bet for them. We'll see how it plays out. Now, let's go on the clock with some key NFL topics. Let's put 30 seconds on the clock. Kimberly, I start with you. Is there a chance that Joe Judge is not the head coach of the Giants next season?
If Joe Judge keeps talking the way Joe Judge has been talking lately, he might talk himself out of a job. The expectation was that he would be back. But John Mara, the owner, he's very cognizant of how his team is viewed. He's a very proud owner. And Joe Judge has not made himself look good, on top of the fact that his team is not playing well and their record has been terrible. So they're probably going to bring in a new GM and pair him with Joe Judge. But even that hasn't proven to be the best move in the NFL.
And that is why I can't fathom why he said what he said the other day. Neek, do you trust in Matthew Stafford in the playoffs?
No, I trust everyone else on that roster. I think Matt Stafford, of the teams that are likely to get into the playoffs, he's like middle of the pack, but he's not middle of the pack mediocre. He's middle of the pack because his highs can be so high and his lows can be so low in the course of one game. He's given us a lot of Jameis Winston right now in the way that he's playing, and that you look at, if you clip 10 plays from the game, you're like, man, that Stafford is impressive. Then you go clip 10 other plays in the game, you're like, man, they better be looking at the bench to see who else they have to throw in there. So you don't know what you're going to get, but I think he has a ton of support with a ton of talent around him, and that's going to be the reason they advance if they do so.
Okay, and Mike T and producers, I know we can't change the graphic on this one, but should the Ravens play Lamar this Sunday if he's not, let's say, 90%?
Would not. You want to make sure that he can protect himself. Obviously, what he could do outside the pocket, move around, his athleticism is a big part of his game. Tyler Huntley's played really good football for them. So unless he could go out there and be close to 100%, Ryan, like 95%, 98%, I wouldn't risk injury for him. And from a performance standpoint, I would go with Huntley at 100% because I think that would give them the best chance to win. Now, look, if Lamar's ready to go, that's a different story. But looking at that footage, it's an ankle injury on someone that relies on his athleticism. I would not play him.
Yeah, nobody's 100% this time of the year, but if he can't be some semblance of Lamar, it's hard to put him in there. Now, look, speaking of quarterbacks, he's won 7 rings. Will Tom Brady win 8? Why one of the experts says no, and why magic plays a part. I promise, this is all going to make sense. It's coming up next. But first, a little sneaky hembo time for Neek. Who is the only quarterback that Tom Brady has beaten 3 times in the playoffs? That's a good one. I'm even trying to figure that out. But Neek, he's magic. I think he can get it.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back with you on Get Up, and got some questions for Neek. Who is the only quarterback that Tom Brady has beaten 3 times in the playoffs?
I'm surprised it's only one. It has to be a successful quarterback who's in the playoffs often, probably an AFC quarterback, because that's where Brady played most of the career. So I'm thinking Roethlisberger, Eli, Peyton Manning, one of those 3. I'm going to go with Peyton.
You are wrong.
Rivers!
Philip Rivers. Hembo says, new year, same knee.
Sounds like an Instagram caption.
I'm terrible at the trivia questions. I hate when Hembo gives me gettable ones. I want hard.
Well, look, Hembo got owned yesterday by Graz, so at least he's got a comeback here. All right, let's talk Bucks, by the way. 12-4 Bucks, currently the number 3 seed in the NFC. FBI says that is the likeliest spot for them as for them to be in after week 18 as well. Now, Tampa has won 6 of 7 despite a flurry of injuries that could impact his playoff chances. Take a look at this. Biggest one is their leading wideout, Chris Godwin, lost for the season, but there's also a handful of others. Got Leonard Fournette on the list. Jason Pierre-Paul missed the last two games. Shaq Barrett missed the last game. And Richard Sherman, only 3 snaps in the last 3 games. Not looking for them, not looking good for them at this moment. And want to bring in Rob Ninkovich. Look who's here with us. Good to see you, my friend.
Inside.
All right. Now,
I got on shoveling gear.
I know. It really does, actually. Now, Ninko, you were Brady's teammates for all those years. And when we talk about the Bucs, we talk at this point about Super Bowl or bust. Are these injuries, all these injuries, too much to overcome for a team that's looking to repeat?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, I think the number one thing they have going for them is Tom Brady is healthy. So if you look at the rest of the issues that they have, you can suffice with Tom being healthy and making the best of what Tom can do. And you just look at the Jets game, for example, the comeback, him using other people that really don't play that much and marching down the field and winning. I think Evans being healthy is huge. Gronk being healthy is obviously going to be huge for Tom. But moving forward, when you don't have Fournette, who's a key piece in the running game, that's definitely going to be the problem in the playoffs. But I'm not counting them out. I would rather bet with Tom and lose than bet against him and lose. So I do believe having Tom, that's probably the biggest factor here is Tom's healthy and he's playing confident and playing well, but losing all those pieces definitely is going to be an issue. So hopefully moving forward, they get some guys back. I'm sure not everybody on that list is going to come back. We know Godwin's gone for the year, which is a big, big problem for just go-to guys. I mean, in the playoffs, you need those go-to guys. You think about any playoff run, any good team in the playoffs, they need guys in key moments. Tom's just going to have to throw the ball up. He's just going to have to just say, hey, you go make a play. I'm going to put the ball in a place that you have to go get it. And when you don't have those key guys, that could be a problem. So I'm definitely not betting against Tom. But we'll see moving forward if some of those guys come back.
He's probably already working with those young wideouts to get them in condition and ready for a playoff run. So, Neek, you heard Ninko say he'd rather bet with Tom Brady than against him. Do you bet with Tom Brady or against him to win more Super Bowls?
Ninko looks so rugged and masculine, and yet he came out here with that timid, kind of scared, I'm scared to wrong Tom Brady take. Like, I may not look like the bounty man just like you, Ninko, but I am not afraid to say that Tom Brady, he went there because he knows that he needs help. He knows that at this point in his career, he needs these weapons, and they're not coming back. So I have to bet against them right now. And I think it's not just the offensive weapons that's going to be the problem that makes this offense less explosive. And yes, he was able to come back against the Jets last week, but he also was down to the Jets with one drive left. Like, that is something that is part of the problem. But I think the big losses is the guys on defense. So JPP and Shaq Barrett, if they don't come back at full strength and able to rush the passer and create havoc the way that they did last season, if the secondary doesn't play as well as it did last season, if those linebackers aren't all over the place like they were in the playoffs last year, it's going to put a whole lot of pressure on Tom Brady. And even Tom Brady, as good as he's been, he knows that he cannot put an entire team on his back at this point in his career. If he could, maybe he would have still been in New England.
Good point. But yet it's Tom Brady, Kmart.
Yeah.
Magic.
Yeah,
here we go with the magic.
No. It's not even about magic, though. We talked earlier about Matt Stafford and what does history show you? What's the resume, right? When we've seen Tom Brady, we've seen him in his career do more with less at times. Obviously, the injuries are an issue. Not having Chris Godwin is huge. But when I look around the whole NFL landscape, everybody has flaws. So if the question is Tom Brady done winning Super Bowls, you can't, given his track record, given what we've seen this season, just say, oh, they're done, there's no chance. You have to say the Bucs have a chance because, guess what, they have the greatest quarterback of all time on their roster. He cannot do it all himself. Other guys have to play, whether it's they have to produce, whether they're injured or not. But to count them out, I think, is foolish.
Yeah, and you know, he seems to revel in moments like this. You believe he's not going to do something, he wants to prove everybody wrong. But no magic involved, right?
It's we can joke about magic, but Dominique knows.
It's not a joke.
He is blessed with some higher power. Don't get me wrong.
But I don't believe in Hogwarts. And that man is like, he can't make things materialize
right
out of
there.
Nowhere.
That's your problem. That's your problem.
Oh, no, let's not go Harry Potter. Let's instead run the hurry up.
I don't know anything other than Hogwarts. I'm done after that.
Let's run the hurry up with Kimberly. Kimberly, let's talk Baker Mayfield.
Guys, all right, Baker's disappointing season has come to an end. He is going to get surgery. He will not play in Week 18. I'm told he's supposed to get imaging today. Surgery could be soon, as in this week. A very important offseason awaits the Browns quarterback.
And then we've got some good news with the Titans. Tell us about that.
As if being AFC South champs isn't enough, as if not having a chance to clinch the number one spot in the AFC isn't enough, guess what? Derrick Henry could be back on the practice field. Titans are expected to designate him from return from IR. He's been out since November 1st and somehow is sixth still in rushing yards. So that's pretty good news.
Wow, amazing. Now, Sunday fans almost fell on top of Jalen Hurts.
We almost lost Jalen Hurts.
Right,
y'all.
Right. What more can you tell us about that?
So Jalen Hurts, I mean, look at the poise. Look at the presence. Look at that. So obviously we almost lost Jalen Hurts thanks to the shoddy FedEx Field situation there, those railings. But Jalen actually penned a letter saying he wants to know what's going to be done. And the NFL is actually investigating. This is a Washington team that has been investigated for all sorts of stuff. Now almost potentially killing a quarterback is one. And fans.
They just can't win. Although maybe there's a win with the name change. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But first, got to turn to the NBA. Kings, Lakers. And what a game this was. LeBron is a starting center. Lakers 3-0 when he does that. And he was making magic. There he is right there. First quarter, LeBron flips, drives Russell Westbrook back to LeBron, gets it in. Great teamwork from the Lakers star. Seconds later, De'Aaron Fox drives, but LeBron gets it back. And look at this swat right there. Key move. Great one by LeBron. Loving that. Fourth quarter now, down one. LeBron jacks it up for three and hits. Pumped as they take a two-point lead. 2:30 remaining. Lakers still leading by two. LeBron drives, gets his own miss. Lays it in, stays patient, and takes the four-point lead. A minute left. Lakers leading by four, and vintage LeBron right there. The drive, 14 of his 31 came in the fourth, and the Lakers, winners, 122-114. And with AD going down 10 games ago, it's been up to LeBron, who has stepped up to cover in AD's absence. Since the injury, James has led the Lakers in scoring each night, averaging 34 points a game on 55% shooting. He's also cleaning up on the boards, averaging nearly 10 a game. He has been on a streak, and the Lakers are on a tear. And let's bring in Big Perk to talk about these Lakers. Perk, they're over 500 for the first time in a while, really since December 19th. They've been 4-0 with LeBron as their starting center. Have they figured something out here?
You know what? Let's pump the brakes, okay? The only thing that we figured out was that how great LeBron James is and that he's the best all-around player this game has ever seen. Now, when you talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, listen, Ryan, they have had the fifth easiest schedule in the NBA. So when you look at the wins and the teams that they beat, I'm not going to overreact and say that they have figured things out. I need to see them against those top-tier teams. I need to see them against Golden State. I need to see them against the Suns. I need to see them against the Bucks, the Nets. Get wins in those games. But I will say this. It's hard to win in any league, so you'll take the wins. But at the end of the day, the Lakers' goal is to win a championship. And right now, they're not looking like a championship-caliber team. I know they're winning games with LeBron James at the center, But I think this is more so just showing how great of a player LeBron James really is.
Yeah, he really is. But being over 500 by one game and being championship caliber, there's a big difference there. Now, let's speak about camp championship caliber. When we talk about the Nets, they're preparing for Kyrie Irving to make his season debut tonight against the Pacers in Indianapolis. He hasn't played because of the Nets' decision before the regular season not to allow him to be part-time because of the New York City vaccine mandate. So I ask you this, does Kyrie's return even in half the games make the Nets a prohibitive favorite to win the title?
Absolutely. I still got the Bucks as the favorite to come for coming out of the Eastern Conference, but I'd rather have a part-time Kyrie Irving than a no-time Kyrie Irving. And I love what the Brooklyn Nets are doing right now, because right now they're bringing them in at this point in time because they know it's a marathon and not a sprint. And so the team could get used to this. The team could get used to Kyrie Irving only being on the road. Because when the playoffs come, you need that superstar talent when you go on the road. At home, you got enough in James Harden and Kevin Durant, and your role players play better at home. So, you know, a part-time Kyrie is better than a no-time Kyrie. I wouldn't jump the gun and pick them over the Milwaukee Bucks, but I wouldn't be surprised either if they come out of the Eastern Conference.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. Beginning of the season, they thought, hey, we can make it without him because we're not going to have him be part-time. Now he's coming back. Mm-hmm. Now the Warriors, they're optimistic with Klay Thompson returning on Sunday. So I ask you this, who's more impactful in terms of their return, Klay or Kyrie?
It's Klay. It's Klay. Look, I understand Andrew Wiggins and I understand Jordan Poole been balling, but they've been balling in the regular season. When we talk about Klay Thompson, we have witnessed and saw what Klay Thompson is able to do when it matters the most. And that's step up in the big moments. That's take pressure off of Steph Curry. And look, I think at times we forget how special of a talent Klay Thompson really is. So when I look at the impact that he's going to bring to the Golden State Warriors, the way that they are already playing, if you could get a healthy Klay, they're going to be the favorites to win the championship. And there's no debate about it.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've seen him play, but it's not just offense with him. It's the defense that will end up making the difference, maybe even more than the offense for Golden State. We'll see how it all plays out. Big Perk, good to see you, my friend. And let's talk about the NBA, shall we? Our first NBA Wednesday matchups of 2022 on ESPN and the app. The Warriors and Mavericks square off at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Then it's the Jazz and the Nuggets in Mile High City. Well, there is no one hotter in the NFL than Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, but will Derrick Henry returning to Tennessee make them the best team in the NFL? You'll find out when we come back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back. And we got 1 week left in the season, and the true contenders for the Super Bowl are rising to the top. According to Caesars Sportsbook, Green Bay is the favorite to bring home the title at 4-1. They're one of 5 teams with odds under 10-1 to win it all. So I bring in Dominique Foxworth for his power rankings. Neek, who are your top 5 teams in the league, starting with number 5?
Yeah, I think Cincinnati has to get in there after what they did last week to Kansas City. They came back from down 2 scores late in the game and won. And the way that Joe Burrow and that offense is working right now, I think they have the capacity to beat anybody in football if they can do that and keep it going for a long stretch. So I put them in at number 5 because it appears that Ja'Marr Chase is unguardable. Then I got the Rams at number 4. Again, this team is loaded with talent. It's been much reported how they are all in this year. They're trading away any future assets to get guys in there. Cooper Kupp is another one of those guys who comes off as unguardable. Matt Stafford is a kind of boom or bust quarterback that can do the things that will cost you the game, but also then do the things that will bring you back in. But the real reason why I like them is that power on defense. I put number three, I put the Bills. And I wasn't sure about putting them above the Rams because I'm not sure that their defense is as impressive as the Rams. But I just went back a week ago and watched Josh Allen. And he is as special as it gets. He has that Lamar Jackson quality where it doesn't really matter. As long as he has Trayvon Diggs out there who can beat one-on-one coverage, it doesn't much matter what you do. If he's on his game, you can't stop him. But the question is he going to be on his game? And I'm going a little bit lazy here with the next one. I'm going Chiefs. I think that they have shown us over the last several years since Mahomes, and frankly, before Mahomes, when they had the Alex Smith offense, they were still pretty impressive. Their offense this year has been much maligned, but it's still been really efficient and effective. It hasn't been as explosive and eye-popping, and they've had the turnovers throughout the course of the year. And so I think that this team is really good, particularly when their defense is playing as well as it has recently, of course, omitting the Cincinnati game. And then at number one, there's no surprise here, the Packers. They've been outstanding pretty much all year long. They've been up and down on the defensive side of the ball, but once they get Jaire Alexander back, I think they'll be more effective and more consistent on defense. But this story is really all about Aaron Rodgers. The way that he's playing right now, he's playing in such a way that it does not matter how good your coverage is, he is going to find a way to fit the ball into one of the best receivers in football. So I think we have to put them number one, despite their struggles recently against some teams that, frankly, are not on their level.
Yeah, you know, I'm buying the whole list. I just was a little bit taken aback by the Bills at three. That was the one that got me.
Taken aback. No, so the Bills, no Bucks, no Cowboys. That's interesting. It's interesting. I'll just leave it at that.
It's interesting. That doesn't sound like it's interesting. It sounds like she takes issue with it.
Listening to Dominique all show long, talking about, oh, Brady, I'm so sick of seeing Brady win. Oh, he's got to lose at some point.
Never came out of my mouth.
Is that not,
never said I'm sick of seeing Brady win. I'm not sick. Well, yeah, I am sick of, but I didn't say
he's going to win another Super Bowl.
Okay, Dominique. Okay. We'll leave the private group chat alone. Okay, fine.
Nico, let me bring you in on here because, you know, I'm not seeing the Cowboys on there. Before the show, you said you thought they'd be one and done. What do you think of this list?
I like the list. The only thing that I would do is switch Kansas City probably to five and bump maybe the Bills a little closer and put Cincinnati a little bit closer, because Kansas City, to me, I think everyone is thinking about the past. And presently, sometimes they're inconsistent. And offensively, they struggle a little bit. And defensively, you know, they let up some points last week that they probably wouldn't have done. And if it wasn't for the defense, we wouldn't even be talking about Kansas City. They'd be just off the list if their defense didn't step up this year. When I think about Cincinnati, they're very impressive because of the fact that they have a quarterback that seems to have a little bit of swag with him. He's smoking cigars after the game. He's ready to go. If he can stay healthy, I think they could go on a great run into the playoffs because of the fact that they have Chase, you know, Higgins. They got Joe Mixon, who I think is one of the best running backs. Nobody's talking about Mixon. He is a beast when it comes to running the football. The issues that they have are their offensive line, protecting the quarterback. That's going to be huge in the playoffs. Defensively, they've done a great job. They go out and they kind of revamp that defense. They've done a terrific job. So the Cincinnati Bengals, to me, are a team you don't want to play in the playoffs. They could beat anybody, but I like the list.
Thanks for being on my side, and I bet you guys won't disagree with that manly man right there, that ball of testosterone. You
want to be upset?
That beard,
go ahead and disagree with that. Hey,
I mean, if I could have a maroon jacket on, maybe I would look even more sophisticated. But at this point, I look like I'm on Yellowstone or cutting down a tree somewhere, you know.
Nick, let me go real quick to you back. We have a couple seconds left. Who is the team that's not on this list that you think could be on this list if they're playing their best?
I mean, it's the Cowboys. Yeah, I think the Cowboys, the inconsistency, and it's been, frankly, with the exception of that one Washington game recently, and they have some really impressive numbers, but their big offensive production have been against some pretty bad defensive teams. So if they are playing at their best, I think that they are a team that could beat anybody on here. But that's the one team that it pained me to leave them out, but I have to be honest about the team that they've been in recent weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say it again. I said earlier this week, they are the most schizophrenic team in the playoffs. They could be amazing or they could be terrible, and that's what makes them eminently watchable. So I can't wait to see how it plays out for them in the playoffs. Now, what a jam-packed January sports calendar we have for you. Our NFL 18 doubleheader on Saturday, the national championship game between Georgia and Alabama next Monday, Super Copa, the Australian Open, the first ever Monday night playoff game, UFC 270. Got a little bit of everything for you this month on ESPN ABC, ESPN2, and ESPN Plus. Well, after a lot of drama, Kyrie Irving's going to be back on the court tonight. Have the off-court issues made another title for Irving more important than ever? First Take answers that question when they follow us at the top of the hour. Our next NHL on ESPN matchup has the Wild against the Bruins, and our featured ESPN Plus matchup is another Pennsylvania battle between the Penguins and the Flyers. Our coverage of both starts 7 Eastern, 6 Central, and they're available on the ESPN app, one tap. Now, I want to end the show with this. The Washington football team announced that its new nickname and logo is going to be revealed on February 2nd. Look at the options there, the Armada, the Presidents, the Defenders. The Washington football team, please don't do that. I want to go to everybody and see what your suggestion is for a name. Nick, I'll start with you. What should Washington's new name be?
I mean, I guess the Hogs would be nice to go with what they connect to that bit of their history, but I think that they should go with a much smarter, sleeker, more attractive animal.
Oh, gosh.
They should go with the Foxes. I think that would work for them. The Washington Foxes would be nice. It's red, too. You can keep the same color scheme. You can just put my face on the side of the helmet like this.
You see? Okay, I'm going to start easy.
Who you got, Kmart? What you got?
So the stars and the teasers that we saw, I think it's going to be Washington Commanders probably, but the Washington Red Tails, I think, would be fire.
I love
honored
that.
The Tuskegee Airmen, first black pilots in the U.S. military.
Nope.
Oh, but the Foxes make sense.
Let me go to Nico. I gotta get Nico.
They need to stay away from racial things altogether. Like you cannot rectify.
Jump in, Nico.
Your
just say what you think.
Black community, you can't. We're done with
that. Bobby's being shy. First Take starts now.